T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
UB law professor Matt Dimmick is joining us on the WBEN Liveline this morning. We're following a case before the U.S. Supreme Court involving Starbucks. And of course, this is of interest here because the Starbucks unionization effort started in Buffalo. Matt, good morning. This particular case involves a group of Starbucks workers who were fired in Memphis after announcing their intent to unionize. What's at the heart of this case?
Part of the case is actually turns out to be really technical. It's about whether what standard should use when they decide whether to allow the National Labor Relations Board to order that, in this case, Starbucks reinstate workers while the ultimate decision is pending. And so there are different courts around the country apply different standards. The Supreme Court often does is try to reconcile these different standards and come up with a single standard. It's very technical legal issue, but I can explain why it matters ultimately too.
As part of that explanation, what typically happens, you know, when the Labor Relations Board orders a company to rehire a worker back? I mean, that seems like, you know, in the real world, all right, you know, it's justice being done, right? If somebody was unjustly fired, they should be able to get their job back. But in the real world, when, you know, you're the person who was in that position, I feel like you might often not want to go back to that job, you know, if there's going to be some animosity between you and your employer or maybe other people you work with. So when this typically happens, what is usually the result?
You're actually right. In probably, I can't give you numbers off the top of my head, but in the majority of cases, I would say most workers have an interest in going back to the employer that fired them. In this case, I think the difference is that because these were workers that really unionized and saw their jobs as more than just jobs, they saw themselves as part of a broader campaign to unionize Starbucks. They saw themselves as at a political juncture. This is often the most important tool that employers have to intimidate workers from forming a union, is firing them while they're trying to organize. And so for the board to be able to reinstate the workers, reassure other workers that are maybe on the fence, right, that if they get involved, their jobs will be protected too. It's kind of the ultimate practical of the issue.
Why does this matter?
Ultimately, it's a question of unionization. And is it going to be harder to work for workers to form a union? Employer can fire workers and intimidate them and scare them from joining a union. That's going to make it harder for workers as a whole to form a union. So allowing the board to reinstate workers it's going to make it easier to form a union. And then from there, it really depends on what, you know, I think your opinion about unions is. You know, should all workers be entitled to form a union? Or do unions just raise costs and make it harder for the employer to do its job, right? That's, maybe your listeners will have to ultimately make that judgment. But in this case, that's legal issue hinges on, is whether it's harder or easier for workers to union.
You look at unionization across a lot of different industries, across the spectrum as part of your work with the University of Buffalo. We saw, another example of this down south where unionization spreading to automakers who are not typically unionized, you know, outside of GM and Ford, with a Volkswagen plant kind of getting in to the mix. We see the pushes in Amazon. Of course, we're talking about Starbucks and so many more. What do you make of the current, you know, union push going on around the country right now? And I mean, does it remind you of anything in the past? Is it totally unique in the way things are going currently? You know, what goes through your head when you're looking at kind of this new wave of unionization?
That's a great question. It does seem we're in a unique time. You know, it does this of history, right? In the 1930s was last period where there was a big wave of unionization to when the National Labor Relations Act, the law that we're talking about now, was passed. History never repeats itself, so this is always a little bit different. It doesn't seem to be maybe as dramatic 1930s, but there definitely does seem to be kind of a wave of at least stronger interest in unionization. And now we do have this law on the books, a law which some people think has been interpreted to make it harder for workers to unionize, and that is maybe making things more difficult than otherwise. I think it really comes down to two things, why we're seeing this happen now. One is that, you know, people are much more conscious of growing income inequality, especially since the financial crisis in 2008. And so that's kind of a long-term trend that's been building up, and that workers are unhappy about. Workers' paychecks aren't going up. They can barely make ends meet. And then a more short-term factor is just the very tight job market that we've seen. You know, even with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, we still see a very robust labor market, gives workers an opportunity to demand more, whether it's, you know, just switching jobs or acting collectively. When there's a stronger labor market, it always puts workers in a better position. So I think kind of the confluence of those, you know, longer term trend about inequality, shorter term trend about, you know, tight labor market, is putting unionization on the table again, so to speak.
Well, Matt, thank you for helping us understand this better. We appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.